to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is a media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com. We're running into trouble there because if they send in questions.
Don't send a question.
We have enough questions to get us through the next two episodes, so let us figure out what we're doing. Not sure what to tell you to do with your knitting question right yet. This is episode 171, and it is the second to the last weekly episode, and we announced last week that we are not going to be doing the weekly podcast anymore. It's 3 years of weekly podcasts, and we feel like it's been a successful thing, and we're ending on a bang because the podcast is doing really well, and we're really happy with that. But there are a few things that I want to clarify. First, it's just the weekly podcast that's stopping. Nothing else in the Very Pink Empire is stopping. I'm still knitting. I'm still putting out videos every week. I'm still designing. I'm still putting out new patterns. All of that's happening. It's just the audio podcast. You know what part of the confusion is, Casey? We talk about this all the time podcast because people think podcast means video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Podcast is an audio production.
Right.
From the word iPod. Right?
Right.
You told me that one. Yeah. So it's everything else is going. It's just the weekly podcast. We're trying to figure out. We're getting a lot of feedback from people who still want us to continue doing something. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who not only want us to continue doing something, they're sending me long, long messages telling me exactly what they want it to be.
Oh.
People are saying, yeah, keep doing it, but stop talking about knitting.
Oh, I know. Just a talking show.
Or people are saying, okay, yeah, you can do it like once a month or something, but here, do this and this and don't talk about this and do talk about this and keep doing this and don't do this. Oh, so We don't know. We don't know. And in fact, right before we started recording, I was telling Casey that, you know, a lot of times when I have a decision to make, I will have a good idea of how I think things are going to turn out. You know, I really don't know. We need to remove ourselves from the weakliness, an adjective that Casey made up, of the whole thing for a little while and decide what we want to do. We want to be excited about what we decide to do. So That's what we're working on. You know, I interrupted my intro to go off on that tangent.
That's all right.
This is episode 171. If you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, I had to get myself back on track. You can go to verypink.com and look for, click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 171. Okay, Casey, you're wearing a hand knit sweater.
I am, because it went from 80 to 40 in 24 hours.
I know. I didn't know it was going to do that. And I was wearing shorts on the dog walk yesterday talking to my neighbor. And I said, it is really warm out here. It was warm and humid. It's really warm out here. I am tempted to turn the AC on when I get in the house. And he said, you don't have to. In a few hours, just open the windows. It's going to be 40 degrees. It's like, only in Texas will one breeze come through and drop the temperature 40 degrees.
It's so weird when it happens. It's like little pockets of cold air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, your sweater's really cute.
Thanks.
I love it. Do you remember it?
I'll look it up. But what's funny is I made this like 4 years ago, I think. And then last year I knit a green short sleeve cowl neck sweater in another green. And I was like putting it away and I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I've done that before.
I did that in kind of a teal green. I guess I like this look.
Yeah. Well, Casey right now is wearing a short sleeve teal cowl neck sweater with a black long sleeve t-shirt underneath.
Yeah. It's like cute. Tunic length. I love it.
Yeah.
I remember knitting it. I was like, this cowl seems like it's going to go on forever.
But because there's so much cowl because it doubles over.
It needs to be this one. It's called Idlewood.
It's cute. Who designed it?
It was a quince pattern.
Okay.
Cecily McDonald.
Okay.
So I used quince yarn. Yeah. I love it.
It's nice. It's nice. It looks really good.
Thanks.
The color's good for you. I suppose we can link to that in the show notes.
Okay.
Because people will want to see your sweater. Or I could be really nice and take a picture of you in the sweater.
That could be our picture.
It could. Well, we have thousands of knitting questions to get through before the next two episodes. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not thousands. We have several hundreds at least.
Yeah.
In the next two episodes, we have to get through all of these questions. Yeah, maybe not, huh?
Yeah. Hello, lovely ladies. Just another quick question, hopefully. I love knitting socks and I love knitting two at a time, magic loop, toe up, German short row socks. Question, is it possible to work the eye of partridge stitch on a German short row heel? I really hate wraps and turns and I have been trying to get my brain around it if this could work, but to no avail as yet. And I really like the double thickness of the eye of partridge stitch gives. I'm loving all the videos and I love the podcast, especially like hearing what you two are up to in your adventures. Casey, the interviews are excellent. Keep them up. Aussie chick Steph from Bridge North, Shropshire, England.
Okay. Hi, Steph. I think her name is probably Steph.
I'm guessing Aussie chick Steph is her Ravelry name.
Probably. She wants to know if she can work the eye of partridge stitch on a short row heel. And I'm right now blanking out on exactly what's in the eye of partridge stitch. But I know that it's a thick stitch that you use on sock heels that gives them a little bit more bulk. And so your sock wears longer, hopefully. I'm thinking of a slip stitch heel that I use in my patterns that does this kind of the same thing. And you can do that in German short rows. It's not going to be always perfectly clear as to what you're going to need to be able to read your knitting and what you have done in the previous row, because, you know, with a slip stitch heel, it's, you know, slip one, knit one, purl across on the other side. But you're not always going to start with slip one. You might start with knit one on some rows, depending on where you are in the short row heels. You have to be able to see what you did in your work on the last row. This is kind of in general for any stitch pattern that you're going to try to maintain through short rows, because you're either decreasing the number of stitches that you're working in every row or increasing depending on where you are in the sock heel or whatever short row shaping that you're doing. It can be done. Yes, it can be done, but you're kind of writing a pattern for it as you do it. So it might not be super straightforward if you're not able to easily read your knitting. I'm thinking about doing that on like really fine sock yarn, and because it's not always super easy to read what your knitting is when your yarn is really fine or you're using dark yarn or you're knitting at night
with dark yarn, which I did last night
with your you were just telling me the story of your black cat in the house. Yeah. Your house is like a haunted house at night. You can't see your yarn, you got a cat you can't see.
Well, I was knitting, I was on this, I'm doing some striped socks, and I was on the dark purple. And it was, my husband turned out the light just as I was counting something. I'm like, ah.
You know, you remember that we had a sponsor way back when, Bright Tech? And you have a Bright Tech lamp. I have a Bright Tech magnifying lamp. And I also have Bright Tech, the Edison bulbs that hang outside, that, you know, the patio lights. They look really good. So I've been like buying their stuff, and like the coupon code they gave us like 3 years ago still works.
FYI.
FYI. I doubt they're listening. But I got a new lamp that you can barely even see. There's hardly anything to it, but it's like a floor lamp that has, that's, it's just so skinny, and it comes over me
like
when I'm knitting. Yeah. It's in my knitting chair in the living room, but it's not like contributing to the decor at all, because it's barely there. And it's, I've been knitting whatever I want, whenever I want, in front of the TV. It doesn't matter what the yarn color, because that is super bright.
Yeah.
Really good. I should put a link to it along with the coupon code.
They'll be like, why are we suddenly getting all these purchases?
And they will contact us and say, oh, cancel that coupon code. Take that down. Well, no, it's up to them. I mean, honestly.
I mean, somebody could be listening to that ad from last year and still try to use it.
I'm not doing anything bad right now. Talking. They just got a free plug.
Yeah. I think my lamp's an Ott light. The other one.
That's a good one.
They were also a sponsor.
They were also a sponsor. Do we have a coupon code for them?
I don't think so. But so I mean, I was able to see my sock after I turned it up. It's the one that you just tap and it goes up brighter.
Yeah.
So all was not lost.
Okay.
But
Sorry I interrupted your story with my lamp story.
No, that's all my story was dark purple yarn in the dark.
I'm happy to say that I am finally knitting on my thing that I want to be like my pleasure knitting. I have like for 2 months, I haven't posted any knitting pictures. I haven't really talked much about knitting because I am just working on stuff for upcoming tutorials next month. And one of them was a pretty big project that was a lot of knitting. I am finally working on my Bay's Edge shawl. Multiple color. I'm knitting in all these colors. I'm knitting in the chevron pattern. I'm doing an I-cord bind off right now. Like, this whole thing is so exciting after knitting samples for
other people.
Anyway, I just had to share that because I'm so excited.
Good. Okay.
This episode is sponsored by Native. Take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. Native creates safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day. They have products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. And we are specifically here talking about the Native deodorant that Casey and I have been using for a few months now. It's formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc. It's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, which is a moisturizer and emollient, tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. It's never tested on animals, and they have free shipping and returns. And it works. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean having to sacrifice on product performance. Test it out yourself and you will see how it will work for you. It's all made with ingredients that you know. Less is more with Native. Their formula contains simple ingredients you understand, so you know everything that's in their deodorant. And there's something for everyone. Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for men and women. Plus, they release new limited edition scents throughout the year. They also offer an unscented formula and baking soda-free formula for those with sensitivities. And there's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in the U.S. And like I said, Casey and I have been using Native for a while. We started using it during a Texas summer. If we can use it during a Texas summer and have it work for us, I think it will work for anyone, anywhere. And it's a good idea to switch to away from antiperspirants, get away from that aluminum. And I will say from my experience, give it a few weeks. There's a little bit of adjustment that goes on with your body to, if you've been wearing antiperspirant since you were a teenager, give your body some time to adjust to the natural deodorant. We did, and it works for both of us. We're both Native fans. You can give it a try. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code VERYPINK during checkout. That is 20% off your first purchase, nativedeodorant.com, code VERYPINK, and I will have a link to Native Deodorant and the coupon code in the show notes.
All right. Hi, ladies. Since I found your podcast, I've been paying close attention to my knitting and anything I could ask you so I could write in.
Good timing.
Yeah. I think I have a good one. I'm knitting a hat for my nephew and wanted to do it in two colors because he roots for the Toronto Maple Leafs. As you know, with two colors...
No, as you knit with two
colors. I'm sorry. As you knit with two colors, you need to twist the two yarns together to carry the unused yarn and along and close the gaps between color changes. The yarn, therefore, becomes very twisted, and I have to keep stopping the knitting process to untwist the yarns in my lap. Any suggestions on keeping them from twisting up so I can just keep knitting? Thank you so much, Tammy from Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Do you have any tricks for this, Case?
I think you just have to do it.
Yeah. You know one thing that I do when I really focus on it?
Huh.
It's like if there's a place in the pattern where I can kind of twist clockwise, I do.
Uh-huh.
And then if I can remember... And then the next time I twist counter and then clock and then counter and then clock and then counter. And it's kind of a fun game to play with yourself to see if you can, you know,
remember.
Listen to your audiobook and knit and remember which way. Anyway,
it's
a lot of brain power.
Does it?
Oh, of course it works. Yeah.
But does it keep it from twisting more? No.
No, it doesn't tangle at all. The other thing that I've seen people do is... Lazy Susan,
mm-hmm.
Dairy yarns. And that, I mean, I'm sure that's great for some people. For me, like, I like my knitting to be this contained mm-hmm. thing that isn't, you know, like, well, we're in my podcast room right now where I sew, and this whole room becomes a sewing room, mm-hmm. right? Because that's kind of what sewing is you have to have ironing board and cutting and sewing and, you know.
Right.
And knitting is just me in my lap. And so I think about like a Lazy Susan thing on the floor or whatever. Mm-hmm. First of all, the dogs would never let that happen because it'd be way too interesting. But it's not your knitting isn't a contained thing anymore.
Right. And I mean, some people put yarn in like a Ziploc bag or something. Like they put it in two separate containers.
So they can just throw them around.
But they still, like the yarn coming at you still
twists. No, that doesn't fix anything, does it?
No, it just gives you bigger things that you have to untwist.
And I see people with that same logic. There are knitting bags that have the grommets in them. And that doesn't keep your yarn from getting tangled. It just makes it impossible to untangle the yarn without actually twisting your work because you can't take the yarn out of the bag because it's grommeted in.
Yeah.
It's not grommeted in.
It's
you know what I mean?
It's like woven in or what, I don't know what you would call that. And then when you want to close up that project, if you're not done, your yarn's hanging out on the outside of that bag.
That's true. And you have cats, and so that's a problem for you.
Yeah. If there's any sign of yarn... the other day, I swear, I was like, I know I've tied up the bag where I finally found this giant zipper bag that I bought years ago at the Texas Book Festival.
Yeah.
And that has become my number one yarn bag right now because I can zip it.
Oh, right.
Because Saoirse will just, I don't know what her what her deal is, but she just goes crazy.
Because the wool smell.
The smell. Yeah, because she'll even, like, some of my mom knit a bunch of birds for Cormac when he was really into Angry Birds and also the movie Rio. And so he has this whole menagerie of knit birds. And so she'll catch one of those birds, carry it to the top of the stairs.
I'm sure it looks like a cat toy.
Well, and she meows like, I have conquered the bird. So, but I come home and there's yarn coming all the way down the stairs.
Oh, no. Yeah. She probably hasn't ruined anything, though, has she?
Not too bad. She's tangled up some stuff, but not too bad.
Okay. Yeah.
She doesn't like play with it when she gets it. She just likes the chase.
Yeah. Well, and now I'm having a problem in that my 5-month-old puppy is the tallest dog in the house now. And I'm used to like keeping things away from Elby. You know, I know exactly how close to the edge of a table I can leave things, you know, because if I leave yarn on the edge of the table, that's totally
right.
You know, he's going to get it. The puppy can reach things that a Basenji has never been able to reach, right? Because she's so tall. And so I'm discovering that. Actually, the other day I was working and the, I heard something. I turn around to look at the dog bed in my office. She had a cake.
Oh my God.
I made a Swedish almond cake and had it wrapped in saran wrap, and she was able to reach it and she took it to the dog bed to enjoy it. She's not smart enough yet to know that she should have hidden it from me. But she actually didn't get the wrapper off, and so I got the cake back. But a Swedish almond cake is just kind of a little loaf thing. It wasn't like she had a whole layered tiered cake or something.
Wedding cake.
Yeah, so now I've had to reconsider everything. She's a good dog. Whippets are pretty obedient. I'll be able to teach her to stop counter surfing, but right now when she's 5 months old, we're still getting through this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Anyway, we're having another pet episode, it sounds like.
Okay. Dear Stacey and Casey, thank you so much for bringing knitting to our lives weekly in such a wonderful way. Because I watch your videos and have learned from your patterns, sometimes I incorporate aspects such as the double brim on all my hats now from your tutorials and patterns into other designers' patterns. This past week, I incorporated the techniques, but not your actual pattern, into making a fingerless mitt pattern that originally had just one single brim surrounding all four fingers to instead have four little tipless fingers. I relied completely on your learn to make gloves to create the little fingerlets. Does this give you designer modification rage? I don't disclose all of your techniques, and I always link to your designs, especially in the incorporates portion. I still wonder if it's all right with you and if other designers, if it's all right with change. Wait. And if the other designer is all right with changes, I don't want any designer to feel I don't appreciate their design. Anyway, thank you again for sharing such a great podcast. It's always the highlight of my week while I know you both make it seem easy. You go to great lengths to be a weekly knitting inspiration. Thank you. All the best, Beth in Tennessee.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. We get the nicest messages now that we're talking about a weekly podcast. Beth, thank you for that. And do I get designer modification rage? I do get designer modification rage, but not from anything that you've said at all. No, you were inspired by something that I did and used it and actually gave me credit for the inspiration. That is awesome. The only time that I get designer modification rage is when I have designed something that I think is perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, let's think of my 3 rectangles, 2 triangles sweater. You know which one I'm talking about with the pockets. It's a cardigan. And it's knit in this bulky yarn and it's warm and the fabric has no drape. Right? It's meant to be like a little structured jacket, right? And I designed that exactly the way I envisioned it, and it came out exactly the way I wanted it. And when I get an email, I mean, this is exactly what happens. I get an email from someone, I want to knit this out of DK weight yarn. Will you tell me how many I need to cast on for each piece? Right. That's when I get designer rage, is right. Because you, that's an insult that you want to make this. Isn't it perfect the way it is? You know, really, not isn't it perfect the way it is. I'm just kidding about that. But really, if they wanted to knit with DK weight yarn, go find a sweater pattern, knit with DK weight yarn. Right. And the other half of the rage is, I'm not going to rewrite this whole pattern so you can use your DK weight yarn on this bulky sweater. Anyway, so what Beth has done, no, I think that's great. And that's kind of how you knit a lot of patterns, and you can start to, you know, play Mr. Potato Head with how you want to piece different things together to make this other thing that you want. You know, you liked the hem on that sweater and the cuff on that sweater and the neckline on that one. And if you're an experienced enough knitter, it's not a problem to put those things together.
Right. And that's just kind of the joy of knitting, that you can just kind of make those little changes as you go.
Yep. You can, in the same way that you can make gloves to fit your super long fingers or socks to fit your tiny feet. You can also just add these little things besides the fact that you get to make it any color you want.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, ladies. When knitting cables with one of these cable needles that looks like a rounded check mark or a lopsided U, do you pick up the stitches with the short end and knit off the long end, or pick up with the long end and knit off the short end? I've done both ways and it seems awkward either way. Ha ha.
Yep.
Have you ever used one of the other kinds of cable needles, like the one that looks like a straight line with a V in the middle, or the one that looks like a short DPN, possibly with grooves in it? Do you have a personal preference for what kind of cable needle to use? Do you know of any other shapes out there that are actually intended for a cable needle, i.e. not something improvised like a pencil or a paper clip? Thanks, Haley from Los Alamos, New Mexico.
What is your favorite cable needle, Kate?
It's a DPN needle.
Really? Just a regular DPN?
Just a regular, because you're not holding it for that long. I mean, no. I have those funny shaped ones that I got some back in my early knitting days.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my favorite, it's like what you always say, like your favorite knitting needles are the ones that you're working with.
Yeah.
Mine's like the closest thing I have available.
That works. That works. You know which kind she's asking about. She's like the U kind, and I don't know that I've seen the check mark, the rounded. Oh, I know. Okay, I do
it's
know.
It's like not a full U.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There are some funny shaped cable needles. My favorite are, they're like little short 3-inch long needles that are a little bit thicker on the ends than in the middle. I've never used the kind, Knit Picks makes the kind with the grooves in the middle. Mm-hmm. I've never used those, just the kind that are a little bit thicker on the ends. And those are my favorite because I can actually, unlike a DPN, that you kind of have to watch because it can slide out, I can actually drop that and the stitches aren't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm just used to using that length.
Yeah. I do like that about the hooked one.
I don't, her question though, do you start off with the short end, the long? I don't even know.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on how many stitches or how many and how big the yarn is. Like if it was thick, like it was like 3 or 4 big bulky,
you'd want to do the longer end. But you can also, I don't know.
Yeah, knitter's choice.
Knitter's choice. Casey, we're out of time for this episode. Okay. I saw you like scrolling through and I was wondering if you were looking at the next question. I wanted to stop you before, because we have to save some questions for the last episode. If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. Oh, there's something else that I want to say though. This week, I'm releasing my end of the year video. It's not exactly, next week is the last video of the year. This is the second to last week of the year video. And I usually like to do a non-Christmassy video this close to the end of the year. And I'm doing a quilting tools giveaway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Since I'm a new quilter and I got hooked up with this quilting company, Ulfa, which is like the biggest name in quilting tools. They were the original, they invented the rotary blade cutter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I have a huge, huge giveaway, 6 prize packages to give away.
Wow.
I know.
Like, that's crazy.
I know. Like, because quilting companies, like, for whatever reason, they have like a lot more money to spend than yarn companies for giveaways. Cool.
Yeah. Give it away.
Apparently. So that is this week. So if you're a quilter, you're interested in quilting, these are great tools. I just want to say that because it's something different. Like, I've done the pot holder, the loom pot holders before. Yeah. I've done making a bow, non-knitting things, right? Anyway, so the next week we will announce the winner, and then it's Christmas week, and so we won't have videos for a couple of weeks. I just wanted to say that. But if you want to find me, there is, of course, verypink.com and the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. And that's it for this week. So until next time, stay warm, my friends.